Ooh, hi. Just made it.
Yeah.
Welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff, and we do have our sponsor, Pape Machinery, with us today for the first hour. Pape Machinery is our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer. They handle everything John Deere. Go up and see them if you need a tractor or an implement or a mower or anything John Deere. They can probably fix you up with it. They're a full parts, sales, and service outfit, so if you need something worked on, go up and talk to them. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City, or give them a call at 226-9226 or catch them on the web at
PapeMachinery.com. So P-A-P-E.
P-A-P-E Machinery.
And so do they have, like, you know, John Deere pajamas and stuff like that?
You know what? They've got a fair stock of swag, yeah. They've got even got some of their John Deere hats and shirts. And in fact, I think all their clothing right now is 25% off. You can go up and get some deals. Put it away for Christmas.
Sounds kind of funny.
Yeah.
All the employees are wearing 25% off. Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah.
Just the socks. Hey, so Travis wants to know if you have John Deere masks. He's in there giving me sign language.
Yeah, I think we do.
That's a hard pass? No, not a hard pass.
I think if you pressed hard enough, you could probably get you a green and yellow John Deere face covering.
Oh, face covering. I like it.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. You could tie the T-shirt around your face, I suppose.
Yeah.
Anything goes these days.
Hey, John Deere makes everything. They go from shovels to bicycles. I mean, they
do?
Oh, yeah. You can get it all
you
up
You get a
there.
John Deere shovel?
You could get a John Deere shovel. Yeah, you can. Yeah. It's got a John Deere brand on it. Yeah, they probably make it.
Sorry, you're keeping me away from the store so I can't go see anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't put anything John Deere under the tree, will you?
I'm going to go up there and play with the stuff. I'll be back with the full report next week.
It has a little different feel when you actually put it on the shelf and then you have to take it off and put it under your own tree.
That's just sad.
It takes the fun out of it.
You have those little pedal cars, though?
Yes, we do.
Those little pedal cars are fun. Like, yeah. If you had, are they metal?
Both. They make the cast iron and they make plastic now with a little,
like the olden days,
hand lift loader. Yeah, so if grandpa's too old to run a real tractor, put him on a pedal tractor. He'll love it.
I was thinking more of planning for Christmas.
Oh, Christmas.
Since I'm done with summer, so not planning for Christmas.
Okay.
I have to watch you all the time. Let's see. Speaking of watching people all the time, better watch myself all the time. I'm on the wrong page. I was going to tell you about Dr. Chen. But Dr. Chen isn't on hold. That's next week. So now I'm time traveling. By way of spoiler alert, we're talking about China next week. So we have Dr. Wen Chen, the microbiologist, and Dr. Shizong Chen, the microbiologist. And they gave us the lowdown on the virus coming out of Wuhan, out of the lab back a year ago, February. So these guys are always at the forefront of everything. I think you'll like that. But this week we're talking about Arizona Stands Up, which is not a mispronunciation. So Arizona Stands Up, and there are groups like that all over the country. But we have Dr. Lyle Rapacki and Julie Wentz on with us to give us the full scoop. And Bill said basically if just a little aside, as long as Dr. Lyle's not listening right now, Bill said if he doesn't give him something new about the Arizona audit, he's done. That's
it. I'm done. I'm that's signing
it.
Out.
Feels like he's been played. Like, yep, Bill,
well,
they didn't.
That's a little out
they're
of context,
delaying the results just because
okay.
of you.
Throw me under the bus. That's fine. Lyle, I'll throw in one of those pedal tractors if it makes you feel a little better.
Don't do it. I love throwing you under the bus. I live for that. Sunday mornings, yes, Bill, under the bus.
Bill, so, thank you very much for throwing me under the bus.
Anything for you, Lyle.
I know. After 10 years of being on this show, I get finally thrown under the bus. Bad enough, your checks you sent me don't come.
Hey, I need you to run that last check through the bank again. It'll clear this time.
Clear for $1.85, but not $1.87?
Yeah.
You know, the bank told me they had never seen a check bounce as high as $1.85. They actually used it as a training video for danger in case a check comes in.
Yeah.
Seems too hot to handle. Yeah, it was very impressive, Bill. I'll send it to you.
Oh, I believe it. I've had checks bounce back so hard it'll knock your eye out. Yeah, so you got to be careful.
It was It was pretty high. I think it set a record.
Yeah.
So
you guys, thanks for letting me tag along today. I heard what you said, Bill. I don't have much.
Uh-oh.
That's what happened.
Cone of silence fell down on you.
Yeah, kind of. The paperwork's in. Everybody's reviewing things. Across the country, because now Arizona's finished and the report's gone in, other states are now moving quicker, which is exciting. Texas, for instance, has 500 different fraud cases open on voter fraud in various cities and counties up to the state level. But that's what's happening in other states. I think in one sense, Arizona led the way. I think other states would agree. We know that Wisconsin just about a week ago came out now, and they're launching their formal evaluation. They've also borrowed from Arizona, and they're going to pay for it themselves. They're not opening it up for other people to step in and pay. The state's going to pay. The state's going to run the audit. Michigan, the Secretary of State's come out and said that they believe that they need an audit now, which is really newsworthy because Michigan is so socialist. It's like California, New York, Washington. Georgia and Pennsylvania are still moving very nicely ahead. There are forensic teams have been advising them, and they are moving very deliberately to do forensic audits there. So, I mean, there are things happening. It's just not as quick as I think people want. I know people are frustrated. They're not frustrated. They're angry. They're just livid. And I think the more that the Biden people do, the more angry people are becoming, and they're wanting to see some results from Arizona and then these other states. I'm just not in a position to drive that bus. My role for the last 9 months has been to advise and consent on things, consult on things, but I haven't done the forensic audit. The ninjas did. I think last week, Aaron, I spoke to your Northern California group.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was last, whatever that was Thursday, I guess.
Was it last Thursday?
Yep.
And or just a few days ago?
A week ago Thursday, I think.
I don't know. Yeah, and you gave him kind of the latest list of results, which actually we should do in this program in case they didn't hear you a couple weeks ago. The list of the preliminary things that you can tell people came out of that audit, because they haven't heard it before.
Socks
off.
It's okay with you. I mean, I know it's your show.
What?
Aaron. That's what Aaron tells me, Bill. It's her show.
I was going to let that slide, but just go ahead.
I know you were.
Go ahead with your thought.
Well, since your check made such an impressive bounce, Aaron wrote me and she said it's my show, and I said, I'm not going to argue with you. I have somebody really dear on with us.
Yeah, and I was going
to. Julie Wentz.
Let me know.
I think she's got some really powerful things to share what Arizona is doing. And I'm not going to steal from her, but what she will share with you is other states are now looking at Arizona in this other area, and she'll talk about it, which is called Arizona Stands Up. I'm really excited to have met Ms. Wentz. Because we have already joined some forces to beat back what she's going to talk about, and it's just part of the multi-prong attack by the Biden people to incorporate Agenda 21 into our society as fast as they can. I personally, this is just me, I think they're concerned about Arizona's findings, and I think they're concerned that other states are going to follow suit, and then this is going to create such a constitutional crisis. So I think they're trying to slam down as fast as they can everything they can to disrupt our society. So I'm really excited that Julie's on, because her organization has already made some inroads to back them off in the areas of this injections, the shots that are being mandated. And I think this is really newsworthy, really timely.
I think so too, because, you know, we can't... you know, we can't do anything about the mandates. It can't always be a top-down solution. But at the end of the day, people have to agree to all these mandates. They have to agree to follow them. They have to agree to get the shot. They have to do all that. And I'm really hoping that there's enough empowerment out there that people will stand up. I think it's a great name.
I think that's what Julie. Yeah. I think Julie can really open your eyes to a bunch of things that are positive. And so, if it's okay with you guys,
yeah,
Julie Wentz.
We have like 4 minutes until the next break, but I wanted to actually add here because she did send it to me, so I should include this. It's posted on the site. Okay. Today is September 5th, 2021. T-minus 9 days to the expulsion of Governor Newsom, by the way, where we get that opportunity here in California to right a real wrong. Ew. So if you live in California and you're a registered voter and you have not voted to recall Governor Gavin Newsom and you're sitting around waiting for a ballot to show up, get to your county clerk and go get one yourself. Take that into your own hands. Okay, so Julie has an extensive background in marketing and management, in big box retail management, senior living communities, technology startups, along with decades of event management. Well, event management will come in handy on her thing here. She has a bachelor's at Oregon State University and spent 6 months in Vienna, Austria at the University of Vienna obtaining her international business degree. Well, that sounds fun. I might need one of those. I think, as a matter of fact, pretty soon I'm going to need an international business degree if I have to go to Vienna to do it. And she is also a respite foster parent for the West Valley in Arizona. So, Julie, I won't read the first part because you're going to tell us about that.
Yeah. Welcome, Julie.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on this morning, and thank you, Lyle, for bringing me along.
Well, you're most welcome. I think you guys, if it's all right with you, I don't know if you have to do a commercial, but if you'll do the commercial, let's have Julie come back and really brief you on what Arizona Stands Up has already accomplished. And I think that will be really newsworthy, and your eyes will be opened.
I think so, too. So I don't know. Maybe we can do that early. Oh, yeah, I'm getting the thumbs up on the early. All right, let's take a really quick break. We're going to come back with our guest, Dr. Lyle Rapacki and Julie Wentz. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us, let's see, if you look up September 5th, 2021, you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. We're so glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind the glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart.
We're back. All right. Julie, I know that there's more than one stands-up group around the country. Were you guys the first, actually?
No, we weren't, but I do want to start saying I am praying over that recall for Governor Newsom.
Thanks for that. Thanks for California. Yeah, it's coming out at a basically a statistical dead heat on the latest things that we've seen that are not, you know, that are not being run by the mainstream media anyway. The inside polls are giving it a break even.
Yeah. Well, and I have family and friends that are still in California, so I know they're all behind this and everybody's been fighting hard, and we know that Soros already put money into it. So we're just praying that Newsom gets out of there, that the truth, you know, comes to light and he moves out of there. But back to your question, we were not the first stand-up group. What we did start last year is before we changed the name to Arizona Stands Up, I had started a group called Americans for Truth and Freedom a year ago May, because I knew that we had to go after what was happening And I volunteered for another group for about 4 months, and I thought they were going the direction we needed to, but they weren't. So I left and ended up meeting my nonprofit partner, Teresa, and we kept talking, you know, who is filing lawsuits against the state of emergency, because every single thing that's been happening falls under these states of emergency. All of the mandates, all of the illegal, tyrannical, you know, constitution-killing rights that have been happening fall under these the state of emergency. So we couldn't find anybody in Arizona that was doing it, so we started looking for attorneys and, you know, reached out to all the normal pro bono ones, you know, Goldwater Institute, Pacific Legal, all the ones across the country, and no one would take it. And then we started looking for regular attorneys here in Arizona. We finally found one who was a constitutional law firm that understood what was going on, that, you know, knew behind the scenes, all that kind of stuff. And so we started raising the $25,000 retainer that they required to start this. And then when we had raised the money to a degree and then had promised money for the rest, we reached out going, hey, we have a couple questions. We're ready. And they're like, oh, sorry, we've been asked to represent DC in another case. So, you know, we can't help you out. It'll be a conflict of interest. And I was not a happy camper, as well as at least we knew that God was protecting us, because if he was willing to, if the firm was willing to stand up for the governor, we didn't want them anyway. So we started looking for more attorneys, and during that time, some of the mandates started dropping a little bit. So social distancing, relaxing, the restaurants opening up, Maricopa County Board sort of dropping their mask mandate. And the attorneys that we spoke with, they're like, well, you don't have standing anymore. You know, he's dropping all of these mandates. And I said, I know what he's going to do. And I know when the legislative body leaves session, because they've completely failed us, that he's going to start pulling this again. That state of emergency has to come down to stop all this, because there is no emergency. This is all bogus. So they're like, well, you know, we can't do anything. So since no attorneys would stand up for us, and we learned through all this time, you know, I never liked history. I don't like politics. This was never part of my life. And getting thrown into something where we're just, you know, two little females starting this group and getting it going, we learned quite a bit along the way, along with, you know, the corruption that's going on and the legal system, judicial system, executive branch, everything that it's just corrupt. We no longer have a government that works for the people, whether at a state level or a federal level. So during this time, we had found Ohio stands up.
Uh-oh. Oh, did we lose you, Judy?
Oh, something happened to the phone line. And Travis just ran in the other room.
Oh.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. The phone should be ringing shortly. And we will have them back. Something funky must have happened.
Well, it's definitely interesting to know that all the we lost our call there, Travis. It's interesting to know the other states are all jumping on now and moving forward with their audits.
I know it. See, that's the thing. Everybody thinks there's nothing happening, but I think it's a little bit like remember that it's funny. I was talking to somebody about that old Zig Ziglar. Remember that old Zig Ziglar thing where he talked about the biscuits?
Oh, yeah.
how the biscuits squatted down to rise. There you go. And bottom line was if you didn't do anything during that time, they got cooked in the squat. They came out flat.
Yeah, they got cooked in the squat.
That's what the cook next door told him. When the biscuits came out flat, he was like, what happened to them? And she said, well, they squatted down to rise, and they got cooked in the squat. And actually, if you look that up on YouTube, that whole thing is on there. It's actually pretty it's pretty good. But I don't think that's what's happening to this.
No.
I think that they are – I think they're waiting to rise till they have all the pieces together. So they've given that to the Arizona Senate. That's happening. But the fact that all these other states are coming forward and finding all these things and getting ready to do their own audits, I just think it's going to be very difficult for people to say there is no voter fraud. And we hear that all the time. We don't need voter ID because there is no voter fraud. And it's like, yeah, no, that's not really happening. So, So what's new with you, Bill?
Well, you know, I, well, what is new?
I can be moving farther away from the microphone.
Nothing new, really, Aaron. What's going on with you? I understand we got a caller coming in here.
There's always something new going on. So there is a Larry Elder rally today. Oh, Travis just took my phone. It had all the details on it. From 2 until 4, it's down in Durham, California. I don't think it cost anything to go. And I'll give you the info on that as soon as I get my phone back.
We're kind of coming unraveled here.
We're like a day late and a dollar short. Oh, so sorry. Let's see what else is happening. Well, let's see. All the forests in Region 5 are closed. I know people are really happy about that.
I'm back.
She's back.
There we go.
I was talking and then you guys just disappeared.
Yes.
So it's
right back at you. All of a sudden you got really quiet and I thought, well, that's an odd time to take that long of a breath. Are you all right?
I'm talking all of a sudden the phone just goes like,
the funny little noise. Hold on. Let me give them the last of the information. Okay. So Rally with Larry Elder, Sunday, September 5th, 2 to 4. It's in Durham Community Park. So if you need an actual address, cause Durham is so palatial, it's 1847 Durham Dayton Highway in beautiful downtown Durham. Just a little bit away from Chico, just in case you don't know that. So if you live in the North State and you want to go see Larry Elder, you basically have an hour and a half to get there, which should cover you from almost anywhere. And, okay, so, sorry, Julie, back to you.
No, that's fine. And I know, I think the last thing I was talking about was when we found Ohio Stands Up.
Yes.
And we had reached out to the lead plaintiff there and then also Tom Renz, who was starting that first lawsuit, because that was basically what we wanted to do, and they were a couple of months ahead of us. So we knew they had already said that, you know, they would help us when we got started. We could use the lawsuit and just adapt it to Arizona. So we had already started collaborating with them, as well as New Mexico Stands Up. Anna Garner, who's the lead attorney down there, had taken Tom's lawsuit and made it even beefier. So we'd already had that collaboration ready to go. So they were the first two states that got the lawsuits going. And subsequently, just during this period of time, we're already in August, so this would have happened back in November, December, both of their lawsuits were dismissed by the judge because the judge said that they were too difficult to move forward, which is just insane to begin with. So Anna has refiled. Tom is actually now working with America's Frontline Doctors on their lawsuits.
So for the people who don't know, give us a little bit, put a little bit more meat on the lawsuits. What are they exactly about, and what do they hope to get from them?
Well, what made Anna's even tighter, the whole point is to end the state of emergency in the states, because there is no emergency. And under the statutes that each of the governors have used to bring forth the state of emergency, it gives them power, continuous power, that they shouldn't have. So even just an example here in Arizona, the statutes that Ducey used to do this, under the state of war emergency, the ARA statute that he used, he was supposed to call in our legislative body within 24 hours to discuss this action of the state of emergency. Well, he didn't do that. I talked to one of the legislators. He did not call them in. And the legislative body also has the ability, if they were to step up with a two-thirds vote, they could have come up with a two-thirds vote in session, stopped him from what he was doing. So we knew last year, we all knew, that there was no emergency. We know what's going on with all of this. So they failed their positions of not coming together and stopping what he was doing. So this state of emergency has held up everything that's happening, because the perceived power that these governors have under this emergency is what's making everything happen. So each of these lawsuits were to take down the state of emergency, but what made Anna's even better, and hers ended up being, I think, 179 pages, and we had a Canadian high-powered litigator that was down here for a while, 30 years, you know, litigator up in Canada, and he looked at the lawsuit, and he's like, this is brilliant, and he's like, here it is, page 78, this is what's going to win. And it's basically saying to the state, there is no emergency, prove it. There is no emergency, prove it.
Oh, well, I like that.
Yeah, so since we can't get into the court system to even, like, Ohio made it to the point of discovery before it disappeared, we have a corrupt system that we can't even get in to get things done. So there's a handful of really good firms across the country that are fighting at the higher level. So you've got Liberty Counsel in Florida. You have Patty Finn in New York. You have Anna in New Mexico. She's part of American Frontline Doctors. You have Dale Bigtree's ICANN. So there's a few firms that are fighting at a higher level, but it doesn't help us down at the grassroots level where we're fighting the fires in every state that people are fighting for their lives, their freedoms, and humanity at this point. So it's where everybody has to step up and do it. So,
hey, Julie, you're fading away. There's a line open or something? Maybe?
No, I'm right here.
If you're on speaker?
No, so, I'm on my Bluetooth.
Oh, there we go. It stopped, whatever that was.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
I'm right here.
Much
okay.
better.
I haven't moved.
you were getting drowned out by white noise. Might have been Governor Ducey. Does he have a white noise machine?
No.
It's a state of emergency. He might have a white noise machine. You don't know.
That's right. Yeah. They're everywhere. We know what's been happening the last few weeks with all of our internet.
Okay, Aaron,
anyway,
can you hear me?
Not surprised.
Yeah. You sound very echoey, Lyle.
You
Lyle does?
Yeah.
I can't hear Julie.
Okay. Right, I have
this is fun today.
Anyway, okay, so the lawsuits themselves. So
I was listening to Julie, and then all of a sudden, Julie went dark. Can you still on?
Yep, she's still talking.
No emergency. Can you hear me?
Oh, okay. All right.
Well, yeah, go ahead, Julie.
I can't hear her, but I can hear you.
Okay. Am I okay? Still good?
Yep. Keep going,
okay.
Julie. It's
so
Lyle who's
with...
messing up the line there. Lyle.
Oh,
so dealing with this state of emergencies and knowing, you know, we've watched our legislative body fail the people. We've seen our governor, just like Newsom, do these tyrannical mandates when they don't even have the power. And I think the biggest thing is not only do people need to realize that all of our rights are God-given. You know, you look at our common law, the Bible, that's it. That's where our rights, our freedoms come from, are from our Creator. Our Constitution protects those rights. Anything outside of the constitutional rights that we have or our rights as free human beings is null and void. So what our governor and other governors have done is they don't even have the right to do these executive orders. They've been doing them for years, just like our presidents. But in our Constitution, the only ones that make the laws are our legislative branch. It's the executive branch, our governor's responsibility to execute those laws, and nothing else. They don't have the right to actually make these mandates, laws, whatever. So, but they've just been doing it, and people have been complying. It's just the way it's always been. We've lost our educational system on learning our Constitution. We've lost our knowledge. We've been, you know, been trained all these years to think that the government can control us, and now we're here. So since those lawsuits didn't go through and we couldn't even find attorneys here that would help us stand up, and gathering people here around the state, and there's a lot of good groups here around the state as well that are working to fight things. We started taking a different direction on educating and advocating for Arizonans. So we ended up taking a three-prong effect. One was we have Freedom Town Halls, so we bring people from the community in front of the public so they're hearing true information because we know the media is corrupt. And social media, everything trying to get out. People are not hearing the truth, so we bring people in front of the public so they can hear them speaking. The next piece was our Freedom Papers. So we kind of took a nod from our founding fathers and the Committees of Correspondence where they couldn't get accurate information out from the kingdom, so they created their own newspaper. So we've created a grassroots newspaper that gets uncensored information out to the people of Arizona.
That's
and
fun.
We're, you know, yeah, we're a nonprofit. We're just a little group. We're just, you know, raise funds as we go along for what we do. And businesses can actually become sponsors of our paper. That's how we can pay our graphic designer and our printers. That's all we do. We cover the cost of having it done. And our businesses get a sponsorship spot in the paper, and we have writers from across the country now that are adding to it. It's really cool.
That's great.
So it's just one more piece of information. And the third piece is our Medical Freedom Alliance. And that started with the launch of our Freedom Town Hall back in June, and we brought together medical professionals who, you know, anesthesiologists, physicians, chiropractors, nurses, naturopaths, talking about this whole last year and how they dealt with COVID, how they dealt with their patients, what worked, what didn't work. And it was great to have them in front of the public. So that medical freedom piece has been there this whole time. That's been kind of the fight. And because of what's happened, and we've just been staying the course, watching, you know, what DC's been doing and, you know, waiting for the next shoe to drop. He even put out, and what people don't realize is everything falls under the state of emergency. It gives him that perceived power, but he takes it as power. He put out an executive order in June. I think it was executive order number 14, and he slides these things by all the time. And because we're still under a state of emergency, he created what's called a surveillance advisory committee. And that,
well, that's got yeah. That's kind of happy.
Has a nice ring.
Yeah, the surveillance committee. What could go wrong?
Exactly. Isn't that nice? And it was a 10-page executive order. 10 pages. And what he did is every 24 hours that someone gets vaccinated, whether it's at a pharmacy or a hospital or a doctor's office, wherever, that information goes into to the Department of Health Services here in Arizona, and they transfer it to two federal clearinghouses. All of the information is going to the federal government. So, you know, nothing can go wrong with that. Let's just figure out who has it and who hasn't. And everything from a person's, you know, where they live, their ethnicity, where they got the shot on their body, who they are, their health history, everything is going in. And even in there, I mean, your HIPAA rights are gone. The HIE information that's supposed to be protected is gone. So basically you're just now just a data statistic. They're collecting it here and they're sending it to the federal government. So, you know, no conspiracies there at all. You know, who knows what they're going to do with it.
And then you kind of add to that, if they were actually using the real statistics, that might actually help us. But the problem is they take all the statistics and they feed them back to us in a different format,
yeah.
Which is why we're still having this mess. Julie, we have to take another quick break, and we will, easy for me to say, we will be right back with you. So our guest is Julie Wentz. She is the co-founder of Arizona Stands Up. We hope that you will go and take a look at that. It's AZ Stands, STANDS, UP, .org. So azstandsup.org. And we'll be back with our guest Julie Wentz. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. That would be the point. We're born free, and we'd like to keep it that
way.
To
stay
it doesn't
that
seem
way.
Like a lot to ask.
That is so true,
isn't it? Julie, tell. Well, anyway, you go, and then I'll ask questions later.
Okay. So, just following up on the Medical Freedom Alliance. So we've all been watching. We all know what's going on, and just like you do, and we've been watching everything that's been happening as it's all fall into place. It's almost like you could watch this book unfold or watch this movie unfold and know what's coming next. So we all knew that the mandating of the experimental gene therapy was coming. What I think is so interesting and so sad is that our frontline workers are the ones that are being targeted first. they were the heroes last year. They got us through everything, as well as our frontline, you know, first responders, fire departments, police right. departments, everybody. And they got us through last year. Nobody knew what was going on, but they put their lives on the line and they got us through. And now they're being targeted to take the shot first, which I think is just evil. I mean, everything about this is evil anyway. This is, you know, this is warfare we're dealing with and all of it's evil, but for them to be the first ones is just ugly. So knowing that they're getting hit first with this, it's like, all right, we have got to put all effort, because when it goes past this point, as it is already happening, it's going to go into every industry. We know what they're trying to do. And we thought we have to do everything we can to hold the line for the medical professionals. So everything that we've been doing, you know, just kind of has been set in stop right now as we put all the energy to help these medical professionals. So what we've done is, because this is basically our, this is our Alamo. If we can hold the line here for these medical professionals, we can do the same type of thing with other industries.
Yeah,
so that, what we did is
that situation's happening here in Reading too. I think one of our hospitals is requiring the nurses to all be vaccinated, and I think the number was 57% of them aren't.
Yeah, 57% were not, and they wanted to know what to do about it. And it's like, well, you know, without 57% of the nurses,
they've got
it's a large building with
a lot fewer beds. Yeah.
Right, right. And what's really sad, I mean, it's even though, I mean, you guys know what's going on in California and we're dealing with Arizona, it's like we have to take care of our backyard first, but up in Washington, so we have contacts around the country now that are not only wanting to start other stand-up groups like ours to get in the fight, but then also using the process that we're using to try and help. What's really sad is in Washington State, where my daughter actually lives in Seattle, and that Peace Health, who was the first one, they terminated a bunch of employees, I think it was September 1st, the ones that wouldn't take the shot, kind of like the ones down at Methodist Hospital in Texas. So a whole bunch of people were terminated at Peace Health. And what was really interesting and sad but very ironic is a lot of their the people that were quitting, they left their shoes with a note outside the door of where they were terminated from. And it was a scripture about when, you know, if you're not welcome, shake off your...
Shake the dust from your shoes.
Shake
sure.
the dust off and move on. And they left that scripture with notes with their shoes outside.
Ouch.
And, yeah, but how ironic when you look at, they at least left their shoes on their own terms when they were terminated, where you look at the Holocaust, same thing, the shoes were taken. That was against their will. There's such a parallel, even with that visual of what happened back with Nazi Germany and what's happening now. And the same type of thing. I just think it was amazing that those workers did that. So it's already happening. There's people getting terminated across the country.
Well, I know they have, they've been running ads here in Reading. One of the hospitals is offering a $15,000 signing bonus for nurses. Now, I don't know if that they have to be vaccinated or not. That might be something worth looking into. But I thought that was interesting that they were willing to pay that much for a signing bonus. I don't know. Does that sound like something that's common in that industry?
I'm not 100% sure, but we're seeing that. So not only is there a nursing shortage across the U.S., and we're also getting contacted by nursing students that can't even follow through with their clinicals to finish nursing school because the hospitals are mandating it. There's two things that have come up. Number one, our lovely governor just put out the other day that he's giving the hospital systems an extra $60 million to help them find workers to be, you know, to prepare or, you know, help them find the workers that they need now. Well, they're not even paying the ones that are here now. They're mandating them that they get the jab, but the governor's willing to take our tax money and give it to these hospital systems to try and help them buffer their their employee group because they're going to be leaving. So this is literally, we're playing a game of chicken right now.
Oh, yeah.
This is a giant game of chicken.
Well, at some point, they're acting like these people work at Taco Bell. And so if you can find, you know, a kid who can read and show up on time and wear the outfit, then it's good. These people have years of training. You can't just run out and just go get a whole bunch more.
No, and there's already a shortage. We've watched that, you know, time frame of, you know, I've been in senior living for 7 years. You look at that time frame of the greatest generation is about done. There's some of them that are still alive in senior living, but our greatest generation is done. The next one coming in is our boomer generation. We're going to be looking at, and that generation is even bigger than the greatest generation. And we're going to be looking at them needing care in the next 8 to 10 years. They're a healthier generation, but they're going to need the care. Well, there is not, because these nurses have retired along with the greatest generation and this incoming flex. There's not even enough nurses. There's not going to be enough to be able to take care of the boomer generation that's coming in. That's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
And now you have the states and the government trying to fire and, I'm sorry, try to kill these nurses. This is intentional. So why would you work so hard to get your frontline workers injected with something that's experimental? Like, why would you do that? You know, that's where my head goes. So I have my own theories. But with these frontline workers, what we've done is going, all right, this is our Alamo. This is where we have to hold them. So we put together a document process to help them stand their ground. And some of the things we've done the last few months, we had learned, this is all not my forte. God's just kind of like thrown me into this. I didn't know any of this stuff, but I've learned a lot. We've been writing notices and affidavits and serving them on our governor, on our legislative body, on the attorney general. We've put the sheriffs on notice on their oath and the constitution that they have to stand up for, that they took an oath to protect, and the people. And have told them that we're going to expect them to stand up for us when the time comes. So there's been a lot of other things that have been going on with notices and affidavits that we, the people, the common man and woman, are doing, because our legal system's just gone. You know, the whole government's just gone. We have to do this now.
Yeah.
We have to do this. So it's a new game. You know, I'm not playing their game anymore. We're done playing their game. We're going to create a new game. We're changing the game, which means. It's so hard because there's so many people that are just now waking up. And, you know, we've been at this for so long. But when I have a sweet new nurse that comes to one of our meetings and says, you know, what about this and what about this? And, you know, things that we've spent a year and a half, like, trying everything and doing everything. And I said, you have to understand, anything that's true and honest and loving and ethical and common sense and real is off the table. It's gone. Everything is upside down, and there's no more rule. You have to understand that, because the government and what everyone is doing to the people is completely illegal, completely invasive, disseminating our constitutional rights and our God-given rights. So guess what? There's no more rules, because they're not playing by any rules, which means we have to make the new rules.
So
we have to change.
You had mentioned earlier the HEPA laws.
Yeah.
Is there any pushback on all these HEPA violations? I mean, just, you know, exposing people's vaccination status. I mean, that in itself
is a violation. Yeah, you have to declare your medical conditions in public to a restaurant.
Yeah.
Although HIPAA keeps hospitals and doctors' offices from giving out your stuff, so I'm not sure.
Well, even a private business that says, hey, I want to see your vaccination card before you come in my store, I think that's a violation. I'm not sure.
Absolutely.
But I just I don't hear anybody pushing back on that, because it's happening everywhere.
It's happening everywhere because there's no more rules. They're doing things that are completely illegal. Everything that is happening is illegal, but there's no one standing up to it. There's, you know, other than that handful of lawyers, and you have all of the government and the global money backing what's happening, there's no more rules. So people have to realize everything that's happening is totally illegal. So then what do you do to counteract that?
Exactly.
The people have to stand up because the rules are gone. Everything that are you know, I think about, you know, the phrase, woe to those who think evil is good and good is evil. Everything is upside down right now. Nothing is the way it should be.
Well, Aaron was on a flight last year, I think it was, or year before, where they forced her to go back to the back of the plane and talk to a doctor. Or
it was, as they termed it, you have to talk to our doctor.
Their doctor.
I'm like, what?
Yeah, because she wouldn't wear a mask, and this is before the big mandate and everything, but they were all freaking out because she has asthma. And they said, you have to go back and talk to this doctor. Well, again, that is so illegal. That this guy, how do we even know he's a doctor?
I was actually having a really severe asthma attack and was using my nebulizer at the time. So it was really obvious. I mean, I was white as a sheet, gasping for air. And they've said, well, you know, we can't take off until you talk to our doctor. And here, you know, I mean, basically, it was, I don't know what kind of plane it was, but it felt like a football stadium. So the whole football stadium is looking at the woman who's screwing up the flight and won't let the plane leave. So I stood up and I walked to kind of like the middle where the bathrooms are in those giant planes. And I looked at the guy and I said, you're not my doctor. I don't know you. And I'm not talking to you. And I turned around and I went and sat down.
Right. Again, completely illegal.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, you could have been a veterinarian, you know, not that veterinarians are bad. I love the veterinarian, but bottom line is this guy doesn't know me from Adam. And what was he going to do?
Right.
You know,
yeah, he doesn't know your medical history. He doesn't know anything.
And it didn't have anything to do with them. I was fine. Like, leave me alone. I'll be fine. But no, I'm not putting on your mask. I even had a note from my doctor that I got the minute this thing started because I kind of thought I might need it. Had a note from my doctor that said I couldn't wear a mask. So, but the fact that I was white as a ghost and gasping for air should have been a clue. And yet they were just so like, must have mask, must have mask. That was United Airlines, by the way. Everybody else was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
I flew back and forth to Missouri. That was the end of June. We flew back. It was the Houston to Colorado somewhere. I think it was Denver. Houston to Denver, maybe, of United Airlines. And they were just jerks. And then from Denver to Sacramento, they were super nice again. So
it's crazy. All the things,
but they think it's okay.
Yeah, and how many people have been blinded by this? They just don't see what's going on, and they've just been, you know, the little sheep that are walking along doing what they've been told to do. And it's interesting, like through this time frame, even with the, you know, the words we heard in the beginning, the mask helped you, it helped me, we're in this together, all this kind
of
stuff.
Yeah.
All this virtue,
don't you care, you know, about your fellow citizens?
Exactly.
We should do a whole segment on that. Let's do all the...
Right.
let's get them all on tape in case, you know, this goes into a time capsule, and at some point in the future, they're like, you guys were doing what? Yeah, because this is...
Exactly. I know, somebody needs to be writing all of this down. Well, even if we make it to the other side, somebody needs to be writing all this down.
Can you imagine, like, you look back and, you know, people look back at, like, television shows and stuff like that, and it's like, when did we become China? Like, everybody's
right,
wearing
exactly.
a mask. That seems weird.
Yeah, we know exactly when we became China, and that's the whole intent. It's just, it's evil, and it's just dividing. It's so divisive, even with the virtue signaling, and, you know, like, even I've lost, you know, half my family. Half my family gets it, half doesn't. They don't see it.
That's the hard part. We're all kind of chained together on the good ship Lollipop with our families. And
right.
Hopefully we can help them. We're going to come back on the other side of the break with Julie Wentz. We are talking about individual liberty, actually, and her group, Arizona Stands Up. You're listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. So here's our ode to the COVID thing. Good afternoon, and welcome back to the second half of We the People Radio. It is September 5th, 2021, and my name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff, and our sponsor this hour is Pape Machinery, our local John Deere Ag and Turf dealer.
You did that without breathing.
I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was impressive.
I'm practicing.
Okay, sorry, as you were.
No, you broke my train of thought. Pape Machinery is everything John Deere. They got tractors, implements. If you need to do some work on your farm or your ranchette, go up and see them. They can get you fixed up. Or if you need something worked on, go see their service department. They work on all makes up there. And great parts department, a lot of inventory there, nice showroom. You can go in and check out all the products. They also handle Honda generators and steel power products, pretty good inventory there. They're located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard in Shasta Lake City. Go up and see them or give them a call at 226-9226 or catch them on the web at papemachinery.com. There you go.
Travis thought I was going to blow that one. Oh, no. Oh, no. I was ready.
Oh, yeah. I saw you.
I can dish it out, but I can totally take it. Oh, my goodness. All right. So, Julie, honestly, this mess of the mandates and all that stuff, tell me this. How long have you – I don't actually have a date on here. When did you guys start Arizona Stands Up?
It was last – we were transitioning from Americans for Truth and Freedom to Arizona Stands Up to be co-branding with the other states. This probably mid, late August last year. So we're like already at a year, I think, almost a year.
Wow.
Since we've been doing this. And we've learned a lot, you know, things that have worked and that hasn't worked. So we're, you know, we can help other states, you know, start doing it. We're collaborating right now with Ohio Stands Up and New Mexico Stands Up to create a process that we've all learned things already, what's failed and what's worked, to help other states actually stand up. And we do have an umbrella, americastandsup.org, where we just put the groups in other states that are doing similar things that we are, just so people can connect. We just put them on the website. We just, you know, get them up there, and we're helping other states get started as well, you know, fighting back like we are. But there's a lot of great groups out there that are fighting because they're waking up going, oh, my gosh, we're, you know, we literally are losing our liberties and our humanity and our lives, and there's no going back. There's no going back to, you know, the happy, nice days that we had, you know, a year and a half ago. We're going into something totally new and different.
Oh, yeah.
We literally just have to fight for it. And I'll tell you about the paperwork process in a second, but I had some of the first notices and affidavits that we've been doing for months. I had one lady email me back, one of our volunteers, going, hey, I have people that want to do this, but, you know, they want to know, okay, do they have to put their name on it? You know, can they just send it in, you know, incognito? And I just had to sit down and shake my head and respond as, you know, that kind of a question is exactly why we're here right now.
Yep.
We're watching communism roll in. And if somebody asks me, is it okay if I don't put my name on it, is telling me you're not willing to stand up. And I said, we're at a point now where we're fighting for our kids and grandkids' future at this point because we've had the freedom and they're not going to if we don't do something. And I said, what are you going to do when your kids come to you after communism is fully installed? What are you going to tell your kids that come to you and say, you know, mom and dad, you know, you had the freedom. You know, what did you do for me during that time that this was happening? And you're going to have to tell your kids, why I didn't do anything. I was afraid of the government. I was afraid for my job. That's what you're going to have to tell your kids.
Yep.
And your grandkids. Because if everybody doesn't stand up right now, it's over with.
Yeah.
This has to be a massive, massive, peaceful noncompliance and everybody working together to get this done because it's all disappearing and we're watching it disappear.
Yeah, it's a steamroller right now. I mean, it's coming at us fast.
And, really fast.
And I think, you know, I'm finding people that I never would have thought would really speak out on a lot of what's going on. It's the first thing they want to talk about. Did you hear about? And it's, yeah, I did. You know, what are we going to do about it?
Well, my other pet peeve is that we have a lot of people, well, I'm going to get a fake vaccine card. I'm going to, you know.
It's no.
That actually doesn't solve the problem, folks.
It doesn't, no. It's not going to work in like a month or two anyway, because they're putting together the digital passports. The fake vaccine cards will work for like a month, and then it's not going to work anymore.
But the thing is, if we don't all stand up, I mean, I really need to look it up. I should know this. Who said that if we don't, we'll hang together
if we don't stand together.
I looked right at Bill and then you erased my mind.
Yeah.
Bill mind controlled me right there. So
yeah. No, it's
we'll hang together
so
or
much,
we're going to hang separately. Boom. Yeah. Got it. It came back.
Yeah, there you go.
I looked away.
There's just so much stuff happening. I mean, even with the kids, I mean, now they're really pressing hard to get the kids vaccinated because, you know, it's safe. Just go ahead and give them a shot of something you don't know what's going to do to them in 5 years. I mean, it's okay.
And we have a great God-given immune system. And we already know there's a 99.9% survival rate of everybody that even gets COVID.
Sure.
So there's the first part. The kids don't even get it or die from it. I mean, it's like a 0.00001%, whatever it is. It's insane. We have a beautiful God-given immune system that even when I look at, you know, 1984, we're watching 1984 unravel, and Winston is literally in the background changing history. And you look at just from a couple months ago on the CDC website, it talked about what herd immunity is. We all know what herd immunity is. Well, now herd immunity is based on vaccination status. So history is being changed. History is changing. You know, you can't find, you know, it took me when I was putting together our packet of documents looking for the Nuremberg Code, because we're literally dealing with that again. And Reiner Fuhlmich is working on, you know, Nuremberg 2.0. It took me, I don't know how many tries searching the internet to get the full Nuremberg Code. I'm like, this shouldn't be this difficult to get this document that talks about our rights and how they cannot do this to people. Like, we've already gone through this. We went through this with the trials in the Nuremberg trials against what happened in Nazi Germany. We've already gone through this. And, you know, when a generation disappears, they're able to make this happen again. But the kids and more people have died even from this, and the masking of kids and what it's going to do to the social and emotional, you know, just the growth of these babies and toddlers that have watched people be masked for a year and a half. What's that going to do to their, you know, mental capacity 20 years from now? There's just so much evil that's happened from this that it's unbelievable.
Yeah, there's so much that we don't even know right now. As far as the effects of this, physically, psychologically, this is not a good thing.
Well, it is very much a social experiment. I should post the video someone sent me about mass delusion, and it was they were looking at Salem witch trials more so than the World War II scenario. But in the Salem witch trials, they convinced everybody if they rounded up the witches that would save their communities. That would, so it's like everybody was finger pointing, and I'm like, that looks strangely familiar.
Yeah, it's
we've
mass,
done this before.
It's mass hysteria,
and it doesn't end well.
Yep.
There, somebody did a really good. It's a 20-minute video. I'll find it and post it on today's thing.
And we're watching what's happening. So, you know, Australia's gone. They're just gone. They're under control. They're like the first one besides Israel that are now under, you know, the new world order and structure. They're already building quarantine camps. We've already seen here in the U.S. there's already quarantine camps that have been built in Washington State, in I think Tennessee, and I'm trying to think where the other one was. There's another state where they're already at. And it's obviously not for quarantining the vax. They're going to be quarantining the people that are fighting against this. So this needs to be mass noncompliance on the people's part to stop this. And you've already seen, you know, in France, they're already using the vaccine passports. People can't get groceries. It's coming down really fast.
Oh, sure.
I think we tilt, you know, it tilted maybe, I could feel it maybe a month and a half ago. I felt it over the edge because I feel what's happening. And we tilted. We went over the edge. And we're watching, like you said, the steamroller, you know, going down. I think of that kid's book, you know, the little engine that could. We've been going on the uphill all the way. I think I can. it's been that, and we got to the top of the mountain, and now I know I can. It's coming down the other side, and it's coming down fast.
Well, they're taking kids out of the house, out of the home in Australia, if they're not vaccinated. I mean, that's coming here.
It's already here. It happened in Michigan.
Yeah, I heard somewhere back there they sent letters out to parents and said they had X amount of time to do it, or the health department was going to come knock on their door and they're going to remove their child.
Yeah, because the kid was supposedly exposed to COVID, and they sent the letter to the family going, we're going to come get your kid. It's already happening here.
Yeah,
people need to wake up.
I hope people will wake up when that hits their doorstep.
Well, the brutal part is if you wait until then, I don't think it's a...
It's too late.
Yeah, I don't think it takes a whole lot of thought to realize that. Yeah, by then you're kind of doomed. Besides that, I think we have to recognize it for what it is. And I did just post it's called The Killing of the Mind, and it was an after school thing on mass psychosis that I was looking at, and. That's what we're looking at. I mean, that's what we're seeing, how an entire population becomes mentally ill. When you see people getting hysteric, in hysterics because you're not, wearing a mask or, you talk to them about the shot or whatever, there's more to it than that.
Yeah. We're a giant petri dish to begin with. They're doing whatever they want to us, and it's been going on for decades, if not hundreds of years, preparing for this time in history for this to happen, and we're here, and we're going to have to do everything we can to fight it before it takes over. So the documents that we're giving the medical professionals to hold their ground. So we started with a phase one, phase two, and phase one is basically a letter. So the medical professionals and nurses and doctors and stuff are serving these on their employers. Our big medical entities here are Banner Health, Honor Health, there's Abrazo, there's Mayo, there's Phoenix Children's, there's Dignity. So those are our main big ones. And they're serving first a letter saying, hey, the first part, phase one, is kind of being nice. It's like, all right, if you want me to take this, quote, vaccine, there's things that's experimental. I want to know, number one, you have to provide informed consent. That's part of it. Anything under emergency use authorization, and they are, all three are still under EUA. Doesn't matter if they brought forward instead that the Pfizer one is approved. It's not. It's Comirnaty, which is a different vaccine that's not even being marketed yet. So they're lying to the people. The first one says, all right, I want my informed consent regarding everything about this vaccine you're telling me to take. And as my employer, I want to know that you're going to stand up for me if anything happens. So number one, if I get sick, you're going to take care of my health insurance as a result of, getting this shot. If I become disabled, you're going to be taking care of everything. If I die, you're going to pay my life insurance. So it's like a 3-4-page letter, and all this is on our website, azstandsup.org. All of these papers, so they have 3 to 5 days, whatever the employee wants to put on there, based on when they had their deadline for the vaccine or their exemption, to fill out that paperwork and serve it on the employer. There's also a generic religious exemption that we put as part of this that's on there. Now, they can fill out their own information and turn that in. Now, nowhere does it say, other than an employer saying you have to fill out our religious exemption. We have our First Amendment rights of freedom of religion. It doesn't matter if I'm a Christian or a Buddhist, or it doesn't matter what I am. I am free to have my religion. And you're given that freedom. It's protected under our First Amendment. It doesn't matter if an entity says you have to fill out ours. You just have to provide that religious exemption, which is what they're asking for. And then there's a receipt that is signed by the HR that it's turned into. So they're filling out these documents. They're serving it on their employer. They're saying, all right, they take it to HR, and they're signing. They have to sign it, say they received it. I want it back in so many days. A lot of the HR is just not even taking it, not touching it, which means they're serving it through certified mail, return receipt. So that's the first part. And we're already seeing most of the exemptions that they're making them do online. There's disclaimers. They're asking questions of people regarding their religion that they have no right to ask. I mean, again, there's no rule.
Yeah.
Everybody's doing whatever the heck they want. So they're asking things, and then all of the exemptions have a disclaimer. So, like, even if your exemption's approved, we will, you know, revisit this based on the needs of the business. So they're already saying what's going to happen in the future. They're already telling them. And you're having to give that information regarding your personal religious belief. They, you know, you don't have to do that. But they're sending that in because that's part of the request to see if they get it approved and what they have to do if it is approved. So as far as I know, with all of the ones we have, hundreds and hundreds of employees that have been doing this over the last couple weeks. And we haven't seen one comeback, one of those documents in notice to employer. And two of those documents were ones we did a lot of research looking at, ones that were really thorough. And the notice of liability, the informed consent and notice to employer, actually pulled from America's Frontline Doctors and used those because they were really thorough in what they were asking. And we put it as part of this package. So that's where those came from. The second part is if they
hold that thought,
those,
Julie.
Go ahead.
I'm causing Travis to require blood pressure medication in there. We're late on our break. Take a really quick break. We're going to come right back with Julie Wentz. And this is one of those things that can ramp you up. But I do hope you will go to the website and check out the site for today at wethepeopleradio.us. Cheated Bill out of his part for September 5th, 2021. And look at the video about mass delusion when we get done shortly.
There you are.
And sorrow in the distance. I'm gonna trust and cast my fears aside. My life's a work that I know you'll finish. I know I'm gonna be alright. It's you I'll chase, even when I can't see your face. No matter how many skies fall down, I'm covered under the peace I've found. You're my shelter.
Put you back on solid ground. If I go crazy, then will you still call me Superman? If I'm alive and well, will you be there holding my hand? I'll keep you by my side with my superhuman my kryptonite.
I think we need to change the website, kryptonite.com. That's what we need. We need some kryptonite. All right, so part two. Didn't forget where we were.
I write myself little notes, too. So phase two. So that was phase one. They do those first documents. If they don't get returned, which none of them have that we know of, phase two. So phase two is basically quite a bit firmer because we need these employees to be able to stand their ground, and we need to start putting the heat and the pressure on these employers. So the affidavit that I wrote, and we've been writing notices and affidavits the last few months and serving them, the affidavit goes into not only And these are, you know, legal-sized paper, notarized documents that these employees are handing in. Goes into our rights, our God-given natural rights, our constitutional rights that are protected, and the information. So everything in there, at least for Arizona, and anyone can take it and adapt it to their state, is looking at our Arizona Constitution and our rights. It also goes into our Arizona Constitution and the liability of corporations for things that they do. It also goes into U.S. code, such as, you know, the color of law, the deprivation of rights under color of law. So there's U.S. codes in there that protects people's rights. There's U.S. Constitution that protects people's rights. It also goes into the Nuremberg Code. It goes into the emergency authorization, what they cannot be doing. There's a lot of statistics in there. And then it also goes into deceptive trade practices and the Clean Hands Act. So both of those were put in because, number one, you know, deceptive trade practice, a simple, you know, example is like, all right, a car has 100,000 miles, but somebody switches it to 20 and you sell it that way. So that's a deceptive trade practice. And I look at when people were being handed masks to go in and shop at Sprouts. It doesn't matter if it's free or paid for, that entity is telling you something works. Well, these hospitals are saying, well, these masks and these shots work. Well, they don't. They do not do what they say they're doing. So that's considered a deceptive trade practice. And the other thing is the Clean Hands Act, which is, we know there's a lot of dirty money coming from the government into these entities to get them to do what they're doing. So all of those pieces around the Clean Hands Act is saying, we know what you're doing, and we're going to expose it. So it goes into, you know, basically saying, we know what you're doing. You're violating our rights on all of these levels. We know what you're doing, and we're going to hold you liable. We're going to hold you liable for what's happening. And then it goes into saying, when we get to that point, it'll be an arbiter of our choice. Because we know the system's corrupt. We know the judicial system's corrupt, and no attorneys other than a handful are standing up for people across the U.S. So everything's in there to start putting pressure on these employers. And we've actually had little tiny sparks of goodness, knowing that they're feeling the pressure. So the more employees that we have doing this, the more medical professionals, you know, firefighters, our Phoenix Fire, Tucson firefighters, the police officers, the whole front line, working to help them push back. Because if they are standing up and they're telling these employers, you're violating our rights, we're not going to do what you're telling us to do, and we're going to hold you liable for what happens. I mean, this would be, you know, I'm even telling the medical professionals, you guys need to find your employment contracts. Get a copy. We know Winston's changing things online. Get a copy. Get a paper copy. Start holding these things and see if there's anything in your employment contract that says you have to have some medical device or shot or intervention or whatever as a condition of employment. Not only is it violating your rights, but in your employment contract, it'll say if you have to do that or not. And odds are, you know, nobody's going to have it in there because this has just came out of the blue. It's been planned, but came out of the blue. So it's giving them the pressure to stand up. And when we look at this big game of chicken, this big giant game of hold'em right now, and who, you know, basically whoever blinks first loses, one of two things is going to happen. These employers are now feeling the pressure. So we already know there's a nurse shortage. And there's probably 30-40%, like the numbers you guys had up on Reading, there's probably 30-40% of these employees that are not going to take that jab. And they know they're going to get fired. And even some of the meetings I've had with some of the nurses, like I went down to one of the hospitals early one morning after they got off, and we met off-site, and there's about 25 of them there and teaching them this process. It's like, all right, you guys raise your hand if you're going to take the jab. Just say it now. And no hand went up. And I said, okay, you guys all know you're going to get fired, right? And they all said, we all know that. I said, all right, then let's start the game and let's change what's happening, because it's going to take everything you have to fight for your job and what's right. So So all of these professionals are all in because they know what's happening. So number one, if they fire all of these professionals, they will not be able to manage care. And,
no.
And the whole point of hitting these systems is at their, you know, at the bottom line, where their CMS scores and money. That's all they care about. So if they fire all of these nurses, and we already have hospitals that are canceling surgeries because there's not enough staff, which is awesome. So it's already affecting them. They're doing rotating call-outs around the valley. If they fire them all, they won't be able to manage care, and they are now looking at being held completely liable for what's happening. Now, if they don't, because we're going to have to take this to that last day of when they've told them, October 1st for some, November 1st, September 17th, there's a couple days looming out there. Have to take it all the way to the end. If they don't fire them, which is the intent, is to fire them. If they don't, now they're dealing with our governor and all of his handlers above him, all the way up to the top of the global agenda that's telling them to do this. So they're now either going to have to, these CEOs and the ones running the show over these entities, they're either going to have to find their conscience and shift directions, or they're going to be held liable for everything that's going on. So we're just arming these employees with this information, and these documents made them generic enough that virtually, with the exception of, you know, even though all the big ones, Walmart, whatever, Walmart's already mandating down in Texas, that any employee could use this process to stand up. And who knows what, you know, people ask, well, what's going to happen if this happens? What's going to happen? We don't know. This is brand new. This is 24 hours at a time. We're literally taking our days, just like you guys, 24 hours at a time. We don't know where this game's going. We don't know what they're going to do next. We know what's coming. We see it. But what happens as the people start pushing back, this is a day-to-day thing. So we don't know the end result. We're doing everything we can to hold ground and to change what's happening before things shift. And then I just think I got to go down and see Dinesh D'Souza at an event a few weeks ago down in Tucson. He came in to support Kelly at Viva Coffee. Tucson's just like evil and dark, and they've just been relentless on what they're doing down there. They're actually, the Pima County Board is holding a meeting for a vote next Tuesday to mandate every single licensed health professional to mandate the jab on them and their workers. Now, we know that's completely illegal, but they're trying to do it. Now, it's not going to stop at just licensed professionals. It'll be, if this goes through, which we just have to pray against this, that it doesn't, and everybody fights this, this will go to every licensed professional. It's all coming down. People need to realize it's coming down. So Tucson's fighting a hard battle there with what's coming up. So it's every level. People have just got to stand up. But I went down to support Kelly at Viva Coffee. He's gone through a ton last year. And Dinesh was talking, and he said something towards the end of the event, and he was just saying, you know, he goes, we're coming to a time in our society where things are going to have to shift, and we're literally going to have to make an America within America. He goes, we're going to have to make a new America. And that just stuck, because not only are we going to have to watch everything shatter that we know and fall, what does the rebuilding look like? We know the government's going to have to shatter. We know industry's going to have to drop. Everything's going to have to drop. What is that? You know, is our Berlin Wall going to be a physical division, or is it going to be, you know, we're already being divided. But what does that division look like when it comes down to communities and cities and states? What does that look like? But he's right. We're going to have to rebuild. We're going to have to create a new America. So people need to be thinking, what does shifting look like? As this moves forward, and whatever's coming, people are going to have to be ready to shift and rebuild and keep America going for what it's always been.
Yeah, and I think, you know, resisting the impulse to panic, I think, is going to be the hardest thing for a lot of people. Just like with the virus, you know, they got in people's faces so hard. We interviewed a guy a long time ago, and And we were talking about kind of a loony theory thing. And he called it fear porn. And yeah. I think that is what this has become. It's become fear porn. So people are glued to CNN and ABC and the Fauci and the stats. But, you know, it exists on the other side as well. The world is ending. Our freedoms are all gone. We're all going to be rounded up. I mean, people are starting to kind of lose it a little bit.
Yeah.
And the people in that mindset are, they're not going to make good decisions.
No.
They're not going to be good allies, and they certainly won't win the war. So if you want to win the war, honestly, I think the initial battle happens between your ears.
Right.
And everybody's going to have to find a way to calm the panic. I don't know. You know, we've gone through a lot of things in the scope of our history. I mean, we've survived a lot of stuff. We will get through this one too. We have to take a really quick break, and we're going to come back with our guest, Julie Wentz. You are listening to We the People. Billy Joel, I thought My Life would help, but unfortunately we had some technical difficulties because today is all about technical difficulties.
Billy Brown.
No, that was Bobby Brown, the second one, but My Life was the Billy Joel. We tried to go out with that, and then it got all gobbled up. So anyway, but that's, it's funny, they wrote these songs a long time ago. Little did they know they were going to be theme songs for history. Yeah, freedom. Freedom is something we're going to have to hang on to. And so what are you finding? Are you finding people are, just from a mindset standpoint, you know, do they feel more empowered, I would think, when there's a group standing up with them?
They feel more empowered, and more people are getting involved. I think more people are waking up. And, I mean, I literally pray almost every day, going, please let the scales fall from people's eyes so they can see what's actually happening. They need to see the truth so that they can wake up and see what's happening. It's like you need to see God. We know the end of the story. We know where we're going, but we have to fight for the truth, and we have to fight for people's freedom. So they're starting to wake up. I think a hard thing of this, I mean, even with, you know, people that I know, friends and family and stuff, is because of that inundated of the fear that happened in the beginning with the media, is they've been told what's right by the media and the government, and they've been, you know, just sucked into that whole thing. So when they start waking up and seeing what's actually happening, People's ego is huge. To admit that you've been wrong all this time, that you've been lied to, and you see what's actually happening, that's a hard pill to swallow. Not only that you've been deceived, but also to admit it and step out of that to start fighting for yourself and fighting for your kids and grandkids. So, you know, you've got all the human conditioning going on of, you know, what we've been doing and, you know, fighting for people, but then you have people just waking up. So they are. There's more that are getting involved. They're seeing it. And not as much just, you know, the engagement, but people are pissed, man. They're pissed. Everybody's tired of what's happened from 2 weeks to slow the spread and the curve to 18 months and the complete annihilation of all of our rights. You know, people are
And no end in sight.
Yeah, and it's just getting tighter and tighter and tighter.
Well, they just keep changing, you know, this, and it started early, you know, moving the goalpost. First, we were worried about how many people died. Then those numbers didn't really, they weren't really exotic enough. Then we had to how many people tested positive, but then we found out that was kind of being cooked because if you went back 2 weeks in a row, then you counted as two people. So it's been just a statistical, anybody who's taken statistics knows that, you know, the data is the data, but it's all about how you represent it. So.
And it's not even, they can't even put their finger on deaths or cases anymore. Everything's made up. You know, all of this media going, oh, we have increased cases and oh, we have this Delta variant.
But then you find out they can't test for a Delta variant. So how do they know they have the Delta variant?
Right. And the virus hasn't been isolated anyway. I mean, it's all a giant lie. And then you go back and look at when these patents have been done. They patented all these variants. They patented the virus. This was back in like 2002, 2005. You know, the whole thing with Fauci and paying, you know, the Wuhan lab to continue the gain of function. These are all facts. You can find all these facts. This has been going on for decades preparing for this. It's all a lie and it's all to take over. So at this point, when people are finding out the truth, they're just pissed. You know, you look at the devastation to families and businesses and the highest now, you know, death rate of children 10 to 14 is suicide. How many more people have died from what's happened from this than even the COVID deaths, which, you know, 6% of the CDC numbers are actually from COVID, not with COVID, because people in the age groups that were dying have 2 to 2.5 comorbidities anyway. We deal with this every year in flu season. This is normal. But now the fear mongering around COVID has caused everyone to lose every piece of common sense around things that we've known our entire lives.
Well, you know, COVID-19 was scary. And then when the hysteria started to cool off a little bit, we came up with Delta. Delta is way more contagious, and now
it's sweeping the country.
Now it's the mood.
But it's the whole Greek alphabet, you know.
Now we have the MU variant. That's right. Going to be a really bad one.
Lambda. That's right.
Oh yeah.
Lambda new. Wasn't that in Nerds? Wasn't that there? Wow, the things you store in your mind.
You know, exactly.
It's a scary place.
It's just insane. And I can't believe that Fauci is still talking and walking around.
I know.
Get over that. These people need to be tried for treason and crimes against humanity. All of the people that had a hand in this. I can't believe they're still walking around. I can't believe
people still think they have credibility. That's actually the part that blows my mind even more. Is there are still people who really find you to be a heretic if you speak against Fauci. It's like, really?
It's just screaming. It's screaming for the truth. So that's kind of, you know, that's where we're at, trying to help people. We're, you know, trying to help other groups get started across the country, you know, stand-up type groups. We teach them what we've, you know, done and not done that's failed and whatever's worked, and then try and create this document process and even more steps that we're working on and in different ways looking at when the shift does come, what does that look like? So, you know, God just gives us, you know, wisdom and discernment. We ask for it every day. Just follow the steps. What path are we supposed to be on? And just help people, because this is, you know, we're fighting for humanity at this point. And thank God people are starting to stand up and see the truth. But literally, it doesn't matter where you live. You have got to get involved and get together with people and start, you know, fighting back. There needs to be massive peaceful noncompliance. If there's schools that are trying to mask your kids or even, you know, the mandate or of the jab or whatever, get them out. Start homeschool. You know, whatever it looks like, just stand up to what's happening.
Well, at the very least, you know, be vocal in your workplace. And,
yeah.
You know, I don't know about where you are, but in our immediate area here, most of our businesses are pretty, I don't even think, does the grocery store even have a sign up that says you have to wear a mask? I don't even think they have a sign up.
They used to. I don't know that they
I don't think they do anymore.
Because they dropped the mask mandate. And so, but they're talking about bringing it back now.
There's a few people who wear masks. I know at church there's still four or five. But I think we're going to have to take, those little steps. It's funny, at church they roped off every other pew, you know, so that we couldn't be near each other. And so, it was a week ago. It's just dumb. It's like every other pew is empty. Yeah. So I just went over and I took the rope off and we went in. And I love taking the rope off. Just something about it makes me happy. And
a contrary.
It was kind of funny because some other guy was standing back there trying to figure out where to go. He walks up. He takes the rope off. He gets in. I was all, there we go.
Right.
It's catching. And the lady behind me, she was just annoyed. So she took the rope off the one behind her, even though no one was sitting there. So, I mean, that's kind of a silly example. But somebody's got to go first, bottom line.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to go first and be like, hey, look, yeah. I didn't die. I took the rope off the pew.
Right.
You know,
right.
I wasn't hit by lightning. They didn't stop mass and scream at me. I mean, nothing happened.
Ugh. Right. And, you know, and I've been around, I know a bunch of people that had COVID. I'm pretty sure I had it over a 3-day period. We all lived. We all got through it. We have a great immune system. God gives us a great immune system. There's no such thing as vaccine immunity or herd immunity through vaccines. It's like we gain immunity by, you know, even when we're, you know, our kids are little, they get chicken pox, you pass it around and then you're immune. You know, it's just the way it is.
In fairness, I mean, there are some people who did die from this thing. Would they have died from the seasonal flu too? Who knows? But the truly, I don't know, for me, the truly tragic part is the people who died, like my dad, alone in a hospital where nobody could visit them.
Oh, horrible. It's horrible. That was just horrible. Absolutely horrible.
So, I mean, we have to look at, you know, a little bit of common sense. And I don't know. At some point, I think people are ready to go back to their life. They don't want to cause a big problem, but they also don't want to lose their rights. And, you know, in fairness, our law enforcement professionals, it's kind of like out here, they're closing all the national forests because of all the fires. But the fires aren't all over the national forest. I mean, closing the whole forest makes no sense. And several of the forest supervisors have said, hey, look, okay, so the forest is officially closed, but we have no money, no personnel, I mean, for law enforcement because they're all on the fires. So we can't enforce this anyway. It's a stupid rule. Don't light a campfire. You know, don't start any fires.
That makes more sense than closing the entire.
But that's kind of what we're going to have to do going forward. We can't possibly be arresting people who don't have shots and don't have masks and all that. How does that even play out?
You know, they're already doing it. You know, they're doing it, and it's going to come here. People have to stand up for their rights. You know, it's the complying that everybody did this whole year by going along with it that's put us where we're at.
Yeah, kind of led them to believe we were going to go for it.
Exactly. So all the mask wearers that just stayed masked up, you know, and everybody that's gone along with this is why we're still in it. People have to stop complying. They have to realize that, you know, everybody has a day they die, and that day's already written. So whether it's from COVID or from a car accident, that's already done. People have to live their lives. They have
Absolutely.
To go back and take their rights back.
Yeah.
They have to take, you know, their life back and do whatever it takes to do that, because otherwise we're walking right into full communism. It's already here.
Well, they've already said the final variant will be communism.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's already here. So So we've just, you know, we've just tried to help everybody we can, and we're just a little nonprofit, you know, that works on donations and people that, you know, we have volunteers that help, and there's a lot of different things. Even with our medical professionals, we're starting support and prayer groups across the valley just to give these people a place to go and talk and chat. So a lot of people are opening up their homes, they're hosting them at restaurants or whatever, but just so these people, the front line, have a place to go because they are overwhelmed. Not only are they getting harassed and at work, they have this looming thing over their head.
Yeah.
And they were the heroes last year, and now they're just zero. So we're just trying to support them.
And yeah, and at the end of the day, we still need all our medical professionals. I mean, it doesn't
need them all.
It doesn't mean we're all going to be magically cured of everything that's out there. That just makes no sense.
And are people even realizing it's like, all right, if you get rid of all of the medical professionals, who's there to take care of people?
Yeah.
You know,
no one.
Who's going to be there? No one.
So people can go to americastandsup.org and see if there's a group in their state. So if they're outside of Arizona.
Right.
And
if they're not, they can reach out and we can help them get started.
Uh-huh.
And there's some, you know, some groups in there. And then our little group here in Arizona is azstandsup.org. They can reach out that way. We've collected research for a year and a half. We have a ton of research on there. We have just a lot of information of things that we've been doing over the last
year.
And
so they don't have to start from scratch.
No. And we're trying to help everybody we can. Just from an interview I did like 2 weeks ago, we had people from multiple states reach out going, hey, you know, we want to do it here. We need your help. You know, we want to do the document process here with our, you know, employees. How do we get started? So we tried to make everything easy.
How do you want them to contact you, Julie? Is that on your site at azstandsup.org?
Yeah, there's a contact us form. That's the best way to go through. And then they can look through all the pages. All of the documents are on the notices and affidavit pages. And when you scroll down to additional resources, they can see the phase one and phase two process. There's another document we're having them, the employees fill out, another way to push back against the employers is the declaration of testimony, because if they're going to follow through with this, we're also going to expose what they've been doing inside the system.
Nice.
So we're just doing everything we can to help them.
Well, thanks
that.
A million for spending the time with us. Thanks, Lyle, back
Thank
there
you
in the
for
background.
Having me.
And hate to cut you off, but Somewhere Over the Rainbow is playing. So obviously.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it very much.
It was
much.
Great having you.
Thanks a lot. You can find the show commercial free later today at WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Someday you wish upon a star. Wake up where the clouds are far behind. Be where trouble melts like lemon drops. High above the chimney top, that's where you'll find me. Oh, somewhere over the rainbow, bluebirds fly and the dream that you